Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, everyone. Amen. I hope you can say that today. As they were stating the dates that each one of them got saved, maybe today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, it will be April 20th, 2025, that you give your life to Jesus. Make it today if you haven't already. You know, it's Resurrection Day, right? He is alive. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. I mean, we are, it's just amazing. He has risen not only to all humanity, but he's risen in here, hasn't he? Has he transformed your life? I know we're all working on things. We're all letting him transform more and more of it, but he has given us new life. Amen. Remember that old song? Maybe, I hope you do, but because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. You sound wonderful this morning. You know what? Let's try a verse. What do you think? A cappella, you ready for this? Ready? God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. And what? An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. You ready? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Praise God! Yeah! Hallelujah! We make a great choir, don't we? Beautiful. And you know what? I have a feeling there's some angels singing in heaven right now, saying, look at that wonderful Lansdale Life Church just exalting me. There he is in the praises of his people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we are going to look at a couple of accounts of the resurrection today. And that video, you know, I combed through probably, I'm not kidding, probably 50 or more videos. And, you know, a lot of this or a lot of that, but I just found this simple one that really connects with what we're going to be looking at today. How he has resurrected me and you. How he's new in us. That's why we know, right? That he is alive, because he's alive right in here. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be looking at a couple of sections, and depending on the time frame, we'll see how much we read. But if you could turn to John chapter 20. Now, my Bible has two ribbons. Look at this. I got a fancy one. See this? So I can put one of these ribbons in one section and another ribbon in another. Yes, so, but anyway, if you don't have that, I'm sorry, you can't have mine, but you ought to get one. But anyway, but also if you could turn to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to toggle back and forth, just once, you know. But and we're going to look at these accounts because they're really significant. They're really significant. What always stunned me, I don't know about you, but how when he appeared to his disciples, they didn't immediately recognize him. Did you ever notice that? In fact, the title's changed a few times. I think I finally landed on Recognizing the Risen Christ. That's what the title is now. Because really, it's a matter of recognizing him. You know, we don't see him here, but we know he's there. And we know he's here, right? Because his spirit is within us. And so as we study these scriptures, we're going to realize that there's a reason. I really believe there's a reason why they didn't immediately recognize him, but they recognize him in other ways. So let's pray and thank the Lord for what great voices you have. Lord God, thank you for singing with us. In fact, in Zephaniah, you say that you cherish us and you look at us and you sing over us, Lord God. And we believe that we heard you singing today with us, Lord, and we just want to honor you with your word. Thank you for all these various accounts of people who met you after your resurrection. How beautiful that is, Lord, and how we can connect with them because they're ordinary people just like we are. But Lord God, they recognized you through different ways. So we ask you, Lord, to speak through to us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's look at Mary Magdalene. We're going to look in John chapter 20, verse 11. And as you know, Mary Magdalene was the first to see the risen Jesus. I think that's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful. I mean, 7 demons cast out of her. You know, Jesus even talked about, wow, it's really bad when there's one demon, but when there's 7 more that come, it's the worst. Well, she had 7 demons within her that she was delivered from. Can you imagine how in love with Jesus she was? I mean, she probably never left his side because she always remembered the torment, the evil and wicked thoughts and feelings and passions and lusts and the depression, everything that was in her. She realized he set her free. So she probably never left his side. And so we're going to read about this first. So in John chapter 20, Peter and John ran to the tomb. They saw it empty. John believed, which was amazing. John looked in there and he saw the empty tomb and he believed. But Peter had some problems he had to still sort out. And so we pick it up in 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Verse 14, now, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Unfortunately, they won't believe her witness, her testimony. And so we look at this, and I always found it interesting. Like, here she sees Jesus, and when she saw him, she probably just dove at his feet, right? I mean, just like, "Oh, you're back." Like, she just was overwhelmed that Jesus is standing there and she's clinging to him. And I always pondered, like, why would Jesus say, "Don't hang on to me"? And then the next thing he says, "Because I've not yet gone to my Father, not yet ascended." Well, he's not going to ascend, as you know, for another 40 days. So why did he say, don't cling to me? So of course, you got to do a little word search. What is the word cling? Okay. And we have that. If you could put that word up there, it's haptomai, okay, to fastens oneself to, adhere to. And so she was like clinging. And Jesus is saying, no, you can't do this. Now, why did he say that? It wasn't like Jesus, okay, didn't want to be touched. No, you're going to get, you know, you're radioactive if you touch me. I'm risen and you're not. You're going to just disintegrate. It wasn't that, right? Because other people touched him. Do you remember when he appeared before the disciples a bit later this day and he appeared in their midst and they looked at him and they were just blown away. And we read in John chapter 20, Luke 24:39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. It's a different word. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And then later, Thomas heard, okay, that he had risen from the dead from them, but he didn't believe it. So all of a sudden, 8 days later, he appears. Thomas is there, and Jesus says, come here, Thomas. That's where we got the name Doubting Thomas, okay? No offense to you Toms out there, okay? We all have some doubt in us that we are being rescued from, but so he says, come here, Thomas. And then he said to him, reach, a different word than that haptomai. It's a different word than cling. Reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here. Put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Do you ever notice his biggest rebuke that he always hurls at his disciples is unbelief? It's not they're doing something wrong. It's not that they haven't arrived yet, is unbelief. Because everything happens through what? Belief, through faith. That's how we overcome, through faith, right? And so we see that he let people touch his resurrected body. So why did he say, don't cling to me? Why would he say that? Well, I really believe that Jesus was setting things up because, you know, when he rose from the dead, he had been telling them before he was crucified and before he rose, he was saying to them, you know, there's going to be coming a time that I will not be here any longer, okay? And you need to prepare yourself for that, okay? And he said in John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Because as he's telling them, you won't see me anymore someday. They're weeping. They're like, Lord, like, where can we go? You have the words of life. We are nothing if we're not with you. Like, you are our identity. It's like, you know, oh, there's that guy who hangs out with Jesus. Like, that's who we are. The people who hang out with Jesus, okay? It doesn't matter about our individual identity. We are identified through Christ, right? And so he said, nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So you see, he was already preparing Mary Magdalene. It's like, you can't cling to this frame. This frame's going to be gone someday. And you're going to need to start getting equipped for my absence. It's almost like if you had a boss who was on the job training you, right? Now you do this, you do that, you do that, and you're learning. And he goes, okay, now I'm going to send you and you're going to do what I taught you, but you're going to do it on your own. What? You know, no, you come with me. You come with me, you know? Please, you got to show them. And sometimes it's hard to let go of the master, right? Of the instructor who knows everything. Well, Jesus was already starting to say, you need to get ready to let go of me. Because when I ascend to heaven 40 days from now, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit's going to come down and he's going to anoint you to do what I do. And greater things will you do than these, right? So he was already preparing them for what is about to come. I really believe that. We're going to see more of this, right? And so, okay, so let's... And by the way, the word cling, well, let's move on. So now we're going to toggle, I like that word today, toggle, over to Luke 24. And these are the two guys that are heading to Emmaus. So what happens here is Mary Magdalene first went with the women and saw he wasn't there. They went back, they told people, right? And this is where these guys said, you know, let's go to Emmaus. I don't know why, but they said, let's go. So they're leaving, they're on their way to Emmaus, right? And they didn't know that Jesus actually rose from the dead yet. They didn't hear that. And so verse 13 in Luke 24, now behold, two of them were traveling that day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Mark says that he actually changed form, whatever that's going to mean. We're going to talk about it soon. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? I love how Jesus asks questions he knows the answers to. And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early as astonished us. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them, O foolish ones, there's a compliment, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And verse 28, and then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And so they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So think about this. Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus. It said, the word says that she turned and looked at him. And after he asked, you know, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Right? And she said, where have you laid him? She's talking to Jesus. Now, perhaps there was a few bushes in the garden, okay? Perhaps her eyes were a little blurry with tears, but she spent 3 or more years hanging with Jesus. She knew his voice. She knew everything about him, and she owed everything to him. How did she not recognize him? Like, even I would recognize Jill a couple hundred yards away, right? And if she yelled at me, I would definitely know who she was. No, I'm kidding. She doesn't yell. She hollers. She hollers. She doesn't yell. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, so disregard it. Strike it from the the record. but she knew him. How didn't she recognize him? How didn't she? She recognized him when he said, Mary. Isn't that amazing? That's when she recognized him, when he said her name. She recognized his voice saying her name. That's beautiful. That's the only way she suddenly, that's him, okay? And now these two going to Emmaus, okay, they're walking next to Jesus. They knew Jesus. Again, I don't know how many years they traveled with him, but probably at least a year, right? They knew him. He was everything to them. They're walking along with him, and they don't know it's him. I mean, how can that be? But when did they recognize him? They recognized him when he broke the bread. It's all of a sudden like the lights went on. Why? Because he did that before with them. He had communion with them. They recognized, wow, this is Jesus because of his actions. And then what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke scriptures to us? You know, people, when they heard Jesus speak, it was with authority. It was with familiarity because he knew heaven. He knew his Father. He knew everything he was talking about. He was like just a digest of just everything because he is the Word of God. You know, when you squeeze Jesus, the Word comes out, right? And it comes out with purity, right? And so they knew everything. And suddenly it's like, how? Are you kidding me? How did we miss that? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. How they didn't even know Jesus through this, being right next to him, not recognize him until he did a simple act like breaking apart the bread. Isn't that amazing? And then he goes back and he says, yeah, we didn't even know it was him, except when he broke the bread and what he said. The bread and what he said. That's how they knew him. So let's toggle back. Are you getting tired of toggling? Let's toggle back to John 20. So the next person that Jesus appears to, we mentioned a little bit earlier, is Thomas, doubting Thomas. Now, Thomas wasn't there when he appeared to them and he said, look, you know, and see and so forth. And so he said, I won't believe it unless I touch his scars and everything. And then Jesus appears to him and then he believes. In fact, we see in John 20, verse 29, he says, and Thomas answered and said, I don't even know that he even touched, okay? Because he was so probably embarrassed. Like, he looked at the scars and he's like, oh my gosh, I saw those nails punctured in his hands and feet. I either saw or heard about that Roman soldier plunging that spear in his side. Like, how could I have doubted, right? And then he said, my Lord and my God, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, Thomas believed because he saw the wounds. He needed to see something. You know, the word says that, what do we walk by? Faith. Not by sight. We're never going to see the things they saw. You can say, well, we're at a disadvantage. No, we're not. We have the witness from heaven coming down and going into us. We believe because it's in us to know it's true. I mean, just like that video said, I know it because I know what I was before I met him. I know what I was before the Holy Spirit came in and resided in me and just started cleaning house. You know, just like extracting the just dirty stuff of my soul and mind. I know he's alive. I mean, my faith is stronger every single year because I see the evidence of my faith. You know the definition of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Well, they used to be unseen. I'm seeing it now. In my life, I'm 61 years old. I've been a believer for whatever I've been a believer for. I lose track, but 30 some years. And I just know it's true. I see a wake of evidence behind me saying, how could I ever like even question or doubt that Jesus is alive? It's so obvious, right? And so Thomas believed because he saw, but we're told we will be blessed by faith. You know, Jesus, the high priestly prayer, remember when he prayed to his Father? And if you ever read John 17, it's so beautiful. I remember when I first got saved, I'm reading John 17, and I literally started crying because I'm thinking, wow, this is Jesus letting us in on his relationship with God the Father. And he even includes us. And he even prays for us because he knows that from the world's view, we're at a disadvantage if we didn't have the evidence and witness living in us, right? And so he said in John 17, 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples he was leaving behind, okay, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That's us. We believe because the word of God, when we say yes to Jesus, the evidence pours into us. Here comes heaven. Heaven is just downloading into us. We have the evidence, the witness from heaven within us now. Amen. And so now we can know it's true. And then the final incident we're going to read about, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is chapter 21. And in this, he showed himself, Simon Peter Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael and of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. And then they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then he said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Can you imagine? Like, who does this guy think he is? Wait a minute. I'm starting to remember something. They weren't very good fishermen when Jesus wasn't around, right? Because this is how John met Jesus. When he said, don't throw the net there, throw it there, okay? In other words, Jesus sent the fish, right? Jesus brought the increase, right? So John is saying, wait, this is so peculiar, right? Throw it on the right side of the boat. Any side of the boat, Jesus says, throw your net, throw it, because it's the right side, right? But anyway, he says, throw it to the right side of the boat. Which verse are we on? Thank you. Okay. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on and he dove into the water, and it goes on from there. But so they were about 100 yards from Jesus. He was on the shore, okay? And he was about 100 yards away. Now, 100 yards, wouldn't you recognize most people that you know real well 100 yards away? I mean, they couldn't have all been short-sighted or far-sighted or whatever that was. They couldn't have all had bad vision, right? They didn't recognize. And it's on the beaches. It's not like there's a lot of trees and everything. If you've ever been to the Mediterranean, it's pretty, you know, around the sea, it's pretty sparse, right? Except, you know, so anyway, they look and they don't recognize him until what? Until the miracle. The miracle that reminded John, there's only one guy that does this. And it's Jesus. Suddenly they're pulling in 153 fish. And miraculously, the net doesn't break. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Last time he did that with a couple nets, the nets were busting apart. This time, they all brought them in. You know, they're already learning how to be true fishermen of men, right? And so all of a sudden, and you know the story there, how Peter comes to him and he gets reconciled with Jesus. And so now we see, like, so they don't recognize him either. So I just started thinking, like, what is the deal? Let's just look at the summary again, if you have that slide. Mary only recognized Jesus by his voice speaking her name. The Emmaus duo, the Cleopas and his friend, recognize him by the breaking of bread and scriptures, words and actions. John recognized Jesus by the miracle of fish caught. And Thomas recognized Jesus by seeing the wounds, probably the least honorable way to see was Thomas seeing Jesus through evidence. That's why believers walk by faith, not by sight. And Jesus prayed that we would see him that way. But why didn't he just show himself? So I was thinking about this. Let's think through this a little bit. Jesus was brutally beaten, right? In Isaiah chapter 52, it says he was marred, okay? As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. Like, he was brutally beaten. So, like, would he have risen with marred and a disastrous look? And I'm not going to answer that right now. I mean, some might say maybe that's why, you know, you'll be able to find those views of maybe they just didn't recognize him because he was so brutally beaten and tortured, right? And so that would be one, you know, imagine a thorn, a crown of thorns bang down with that reed into your scalp. And just, it's going in, and these were long thorns. It's just ripping up your whole face, you know? I mean, could it have been that? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think so. I think they still would recognize him, right? Maybe it was unbelief, okay? I mean, if you're really astonished, like, wait, this is not just... But they didn't even have any hint that it was him, okay? You know, even in disbelief, like Thomas, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. And then he saw, I believe, my Lord and my Savior, my Lord and my God, right? Could it have been that? Because, you know, they were just in such disbelief. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem to make much sense, right? Maybe Jesus rose with a glorified body. But would it have been a body that they wouldn't recognize at all? Okay, because remember, he's fully glorified in heaven. When Peter, James, and John saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was illuminated, you know, and that was glory. Well, you don't see any of the resurrection stories saying, you know, everyone putting on sunglasses so that you look at Jesus, right? Because he's so radiant and resurrected. It doesn't say anything about that either, right? So it wasn't, you know, I would doubt that it was his body was transformed to his permanent body in heaven, you know, but... It's what some might say. But the word said that God restrained their sight from seeing who he was. And it also says that he changed form so that they wouldn't recognize him. Now, why? Why would he do that? I really believe because he wants them to start training to see him not in his physical form. He's preparing them. He's saying, Mary, remember my voice. Remember how I spoke to you. Mary, what's going on? What's going on with these demons in you? Talk to me. Talk to me. All right? Because I'm about to cast them out. I just want to know where you are in this mix. You know? He's talking to Mary as he's about to cast out these demons. You know, she needs to remember his voice calling her name. The two going to Emmaus, they needed to remember the scriptures all point to Jesus. He was teaching them that, right? On the way to Emmaus, he was teaching them. We got to remember that. We got to recognize Jesus through what the scriptures say about him. I love this Leviticus study we're doing on Wednesday nights. If you can ever come out, we're going to move on from there to Deuteronomy. But everything points to Jesus. All the teachers are doing such an amazing job at showing how it all points to Jesus. All scriptures point to Jesus. They were recognized. And then when he broke the bread, like, this is why we have communion. We'll have communion next Sunday. We have communion to remember this is what Jesus does. He has communion with us, right? And then John, remembering the miracles. Wait a minute. I do everything better when Jesus is with me. Isn't that true about you? Like any hint, you don't sin as well, that's for sure. You're not good sinners anymore. I'm sure of that because Jesus transformed you within. When you sin, you're like, this is gross. This just it has no fun at all anymore, right? Because it's not who you are anymore, right? You're a new creation. It's anti you, because you are in Christ. He was training them, look, you're going to be able to have to see me in other ways, because you're not going to see me soon. It's not long from now, I will be ascending into heaven, but sending my witness into you through Pentecost. You know, I love how when Jesus was sitting at the Last Supper, which if you read through John, you know, there's several chapters dedicated to all the conversation that John had with his disciples, preparing them for his departure. Like we read earlier, you know, you should be glad I'm leaving, because if I didn't leave, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come and equip you, right? And as he's speaking to them, he says this in John 14, verses 19 to 20. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. How can that be? Nobody else sees me, but you do. You recognize me. You will recognize me through how much I love you, calling your name. You know that I know you. The Lord knows each one of you intimately. He knew your sins when he was dying on the cross. Says, yep, that's for Tony's sins. He knows them all. And he died on the cross for every one of our sins. He became our sins on the cross. Mary knew that. And he set her free, you know. And we know him by the miracles that he's doing through you and around you. You know, I hope you know that so many things in life are miracles. You know, like Augusta, the Lord just sparing her and seeing her through that. And, you know, she's here with us. Another testimony. Augusta has a lot of testimonies, I'll just say. From China to America. But, you know, so many miracles are all the time happening around you. And you're part of that miracle. And perhaps we can all engage in being his miracle to the world, right? A demonstration of his power. You know, miracle and power is the same word in Greek, dunamis, dynamite. You know, dynamite changes things around it. And so do we, right? Recognizing Jesus through all of these things. He says, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. And I love this. You will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father. And what? You in me. And what? I in you. That's how we see him, because he's right here. I once heard of a missionary talking, and it sounds like almost blasphemous. Somebody was asking, how do I know Jesus is real? Well, you're talking to him right now, because he's in here. I could sound like, well, you're not Jesus. Well, no, but I'm a representative of him. There's aspects of me that is him, right? Because he lives in here. As the worship team comes up, we mentioned last week how in Jerusalem, in his Palm Sunday, when he came in and people were looking to kill him, and he knew that, of course. And they're also looking to kill Lazarus, because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted to destroy the evidence, right? After 4 days of death, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I love as he's approaching the tomb and he's talking to Mary and then Martha. And then he says in John 11, 24 to 26, he says, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again, meaning Lazarus. Because Lazarus said, I'm going to raise him from the dead. You see what's happening here? And she's like, yeah, I know, Jesus. Like, you mean in the resurrection someday, right? I get that, you know. She said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Like, you're looking at resurrection power. You know, the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That means anything that's dying in you, he wants to bring back to life. Anything that is dead and should be dead, he will prune, right? John 15. He will prune it off. He will remove it, right? Because he wants to bring you back to life. Because he lives, so do we, right? And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I'm asking you, do you believe this?
Yes.
Amen. Are you alive? Are you alive in Jesus Christ? Hallelujah! Woo! Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Why don't we do that chorus one more time? What do you think? Some of you are like, oh, I don't like that song. Yes, you do. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Listen, if you're here and you've never come alive in Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? I was not alive until I died. Why don't you make today your death? Your old self dies with Christ on the cross. Right here, right now. I know there are at least five people in this room right now that have not given their lives to Jesus Christ. And you know who you are. And I'm saying right now, right here, come on, before a great cloud of witnesses, we're all going to close our eyes and no peeking. Okay? Let's all close our eyes and look down. And I just want to encourage you right now to be bold. To be bold and say, Jesus, I know I am a sinner. There's no question about that. And I know I need to be saved. Today, I want to give you my life. Just surrender it. Die right here with you, Lord. Because I believe you are the Son of God who died for me on the sins. And it's only through you I can be forgiven. So today I give you my life so that I can have yours. Lord, give me your life. I want your life, Lord. I want your life to live in me. Father God, just save me right now. Save now. Hallelujah. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that right now, there's no one looking up. Just raise your hand. Come on, do it. Think of what Jesus did for you. Don't fight this. Come on. I just want to say, you know, you're still saved. And someday you're not only going to be raising your hand once, you're going to be clapping your hands, praising Jesus in public when you're ready. Because I didn't raise my hand either. I was a chicken. When I got saved, I kept it to myself. And I fought with God for a solid year until he finally delivered me from myself. And he's going to do that with you today as well. So don't let guilt and condemnation trickle in because you didn't raise your hand, because you didn't step forward, because you didn't acknowledge it. But I'm saying someday you will. And you'll be so happy to do it because you're going to get baptized in front of a great cloud of witnesses and say, look at me. I've died and I've come back to life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for worship live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.